It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we're going to have some important conversations about headlines out there in the first and second segment. Third and fourth segment, John Conradi. He is the national spokesman for the Campaign for Sustainable Drug Pricing will join us. And, you know, modern medicine is truly an amazing thing, but when it's so unaffordable, it scares people, and there's no reason that we can't, in a free market solution, come up with more affordable drug pricing. So I'm excited to chat with him about that. As we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Some code words for force are mandate, regulate. Those are code words for force. And socialism ultimately has to come down to force. And I always have to ask you, if something is a good idea, do we really have to force it? If something is a good idea, it should be able to stand in the battle of ideas, in the free market of ideas. And that is why we do this show. It is never compassionate to take other people's rights or their property or their freedom via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. And we are continuing to see the socialization of important things that make our lives better. And that's like transportation, education, energy, housing, water, communications, data. And whenever force is involved, typically the price goes up, the quality goes down, and the supply goes down. Just take a look at Venezuela. So first of all, I want to say thank you to the team. Producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, thank you for your support and your good work. So, Steve, we have this new computer monitor between the two of us, and I can only hardly see your eyes now. So normally I like to be able to read your emotions as we're talking about these different things.
Demeanor and such, yes, and see how I'm reacting. You know, it's just to be brief, it was two monitors side by side, and that was cool. Because of the way we split out the functions on the board. But now it's one big one, and it's almost kind of...
It's like a big flat-screen TV there.
It is, and it's very bright, and I can't see you either.
Okay, well, we'll have to... Maybe I'll get a catalog or something to sit on my chair
here.
Well,
jack up my chair a little bit more.
And thank you to you listeners. You each you're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. And today, strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And so our inspiration wisdom today, since we're going to have a bit of a medical theme, I thought, who is a very famous doctor? And of course, Dr. Benjamin Carson. He is an American neurosurgeon, author, and politician who is the 17th and current United States Secretary of Housing and Urban Development under the Trump administration. In 1987, he was the surgeon who successfully separated twins who were co-joined at their heads, and this is in that fabulous movie, Gifted Hands. And Dr. Ben Carson says, successful people don't have fewer problems. They have determined that nothing will stop them from going forward. Again, successful people don't have fewer problems. They have determined that nothing will stop them from going forward, and that is Dr. Ben Carson. Okay, so Steve, are you ready for our funnies?
I thought when you were first looking for the name of a doctor, you were going to kind of date yourself and say Dr. Kildare.
Next time. Okay.
Next time. All right. Everyone's going, who?
Okay, here's our funnies. A plumber attended to a leaking faucet at the neurosurgeon's home. After a two-minute job, he demanded $150. The neurosurgeon exclaimed, I don't even charge that amount, and I am a brain surgeon. The plumber replied, I agree, you are right. I too didn't either when I was a surgeon. That's why I switched to plumbing. And there you have it.
That's good.
Okay. I want to talk just a little bit about...
It reminds me, I'm sorry to interrupt, the AT&T commercial that's out there right now where the guy's in the hospital and I guess the guy and his wife stand there and they ask the nurse, is Dr. So-and-so, what do you think of him? And he said, he's okay, you know, very... And then Dr. So-and-so pops in and says, guess who's just been reinstated? Well, it's not official yet. And it just keeps going downhill.
You know, some of these ads are so creative, you know, and they're able to tell a story in such a short period of time. It is amazing.
Geico, in my mind, is still the leader.
Which one's your favorite? Do you have a favorite? Geez.
Well, I think my favorite has kind of gone by in other years, but when they first came on the scene with a camel and then the camel actually went to the Super Bowl and all that. Again, very well done, very unexpected. Is it Allstate? The guy, Mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
Mayhem, and he takes on different forms. Those are pretty good.
Those are pretty good as well. So, you know, and I think regarding messaging, we need to think about this. I got a text from somebody regarding the Aurora City Council meeting last night. Mike Kaufman, as you know, is the new mayor, and it sounds like it was wild out there last night. I've got to find out what happened exactly. But we need to start to show up at these different city council meetings. We need to go down to the Capitol to testify. Typically, you have 3 minutes. And as you all know, Liberty Toastmasters, I'm a member of Liberty Toastmasters Denver, but both Liberty Toastmasters Denver and North, one of the things that we do is table topics. And you typically will have 2 to 3 minutes to you're given a subject, and then you need to respond to that. And it is great practice, because if you go to make public comments down at the Capitol or at a city council meeting or a planning commission meeting, you typically only have 2 to 3 minutes. So in the spirit of these commercials or in the spirit of a country song, you need to be able to make your point within 2 to 3 minutes. Ideally, you know, weave a story into it. And I saw somebody say, you know, we need to start showing up at these city council meetings. And we really do. So we'll let you know what's going on out there in Aurora. But it's pretty wild. And, you know, we'll just keep on top of that. Several things that are coming up, though, that I wanted you to be aware of. As you know, Hooters Colorado and Little Ricky's Pizzeria Stores are partners of mine. And they're raising money again for the Realities for Children charities. It's a Bikes for Tykes program. And this is a great cause because it benefits children locally from Colorado Springs to Northern Colorado who have been abused, neglected, or at risk. And it provides helmets and bicycles to these local children. Not one dime, I love this, not one dime that's being raised is going for administration purposes. And so they're going to have a Santa's Little Helper pageant up at the Hooters restaurant in Loveland on December 13th. And it looks like it's going to be a really fun event. So if you'd like more information about that, email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Or if you'd like to donate to that and help them out, I know that they would greatly appreciate that.
Can I do a little plug for Little Ricky's?
Yeah.
The best calzones. Oh, my.
Oh, I think I need to try those then.
Oh, if you're a calzone person, that's the place to go.
It's the place to go. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then a couple of other things. You know, we are in the Christmas season, and January 8th, though, is when the new legislature goes into session. So it's like, fasten your seatbelts. What more could happen? There's a lot more that could happen. And so we're going to do Stand for Colorado, the rally 2020. It'll be on the west steps of the Capitol. I know it's on a Wednesday. I know it's middle of the day. It'll be at 11 o'clock. But we need to show these PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that we are watching. And so if you want more information about that, email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And then thirdly, love this. Helen Raleigh, she's on, you know, on a regular basis on the show. She writes for The Federalist. She's got some really exciting things going on in her life. And Dr. Paul Prentice, they have put together a workshop on the punches to knock down democratic socialism. And so we will be doing a salon series at Water's Edge Winery on Monday, January 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. The cost is $20, and then you can just purchase whatever you want to eat and drink. It'll be a very important event. And so for more information, email me again at kim@kimmunson.com. Okay, let's jump into headlines. First one, you know, yesterday we had on Tim Hoyles, who's a Colorado Springs businessman. And he had written a really important piece in Complete Colorado. And Complete Colorado is a great place to go to for all of your news in Colorado. They aggregate news from all over the state. And then they also have original content. If you click on the banner ad at the top of the page, that will take you to that. And Tim had written an important piece about these special districts. Well, Complete Colorado had another piece by Vincent Carroll. And also, it looked to me like the Denver Post picked that up. And it says, the Colorado Supreme Court is supposed to act as a stout defender of civil liberties, but apparently all bets are off when it comes to private property. In that sphere, the court seems to have embraced the Jesse James theory of property rights. If you can take it, it's yours. Fortunately, a court struck down that laughable, at least you can if you, going back to the comment was, it seems that they've embraced the Jesse James theory of property rights. If you can take it, it's yours. At least if you can, if you are one of those hybrid creatures so beloved by local politicians these days, the metropolitan district. For many years, metro districts, often created by developers with a nod from local government, have enjoyed the power to tax residents for things like streets, water, fire protection, and parks with surprisingly little oversight. But life got even better for them this year. Thanks to a state high court ruling, a metropolitan district now may condemn property to benefit the developer even when its board is staffed exclusively with employees and principals of the developer and has made little attempt to negotiate a purchase price. All that the developer district, and many times they're indistinguishable, has to do, according to the state high court, is demonstrate its intention to use the property at a later date for public benefits such as sidewalks, utilities, and drainage, and it will be in the clear. Surely this amounts to a dubious exercise of eminent domain, even under the generous standard proclaimed by the U.S. Supreme Court in the controversial Kelo ruling back in 2005. Back then, the court said the city of New London, Connecticut, could use its power of condemnation on behalf of private interests for purposes of economic development. Even the Institute for Justice, the libertarian law firm that represented the losing property owners in Kelo, appears flabbergasted by the Colorado ruling and recently petitioned the U.S. Supreme Court to take a look at the case. Jeff Redfern, an attorney with the Institute for Justice, said, "I can say confidently there are no legal cases like this anywhere in the country in which a special district exercises so much unchecked condemnation power." Steve, this is very, very scary. You know, we look at California and we say, oh my gosh, what's going on out there?
Do we have to
look
at California?
You know what? We are actually leapfrogging California on many of these issues. Eminent domain is something that should be used very sparingly. And it was supposed to be used for the general welfare. And what you're seeing is local politicians are now saying public benefit would mean that we are, you know, doing something to increase the city's tax revenues. That is not the proper role of government. And when they bring in this development, they many times do not mitigate what that's going to do to traffic congestion, which once again, then these PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties wring their hands about all of the congestion or the pressure on our schools or the pressure on water. And they've done nothing to mitigate that, but yet they are using their power to take other people's property and to give special deals to different developers and big businesses. And I am really pleased that we are starting to take a look at these special districts. They can be used appropriately, but you give PBIs, a little bit, and they take it way too far, and they abuse what it was supposed to be. And it looks like the Colorado Supreme Court has said, hey, that's okay. And so I do hope that this goes all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And just a note, our Supreme Court justices are typically appointed, I think, by the governor. Right?
You know, the first time I read through it, I told you I read through this twice in my desperate need to try to understand it all. But that was my first thought. Timing What is the timing of this?
I know. And there's some other things out there percolating that I've got on my radar that I'll let you know about special districts. I'm kind of waiting for permission to be able to talk about that. So let's go to break. When we come back, there's a couple of national headlines that I think are really important to hit. And so this is the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson, and we're having important conversations. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@KimMunson.com
Coming up on the Mike Gallagher Show, day two from the Holy Land. We'll have a preview of the next round of impeachment hearings and more coming up.
Mike Gallagher, 8 to 11 a.m. on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson and having important conversations about things that affect our lives. And I wanted to bring to your attention something. This is from Newsday.com. Patty found this. And it is this is back in New York, Albany, New York. Two legislative proposals with strong sponsors would require elementary school children to be immunized against the sexually transmitted virus known as HPV without requiring that their parents agree or even know about the shots. The bills have already attracted a backlash from parents in a Facebook petition launched by a Suffolk County woman. They argue in part that the state shouldn't take a parent's role by requiring the vaccine as a requirement to attend school, that the vaccine could embolden youth to have sex at a younger age, and that the vaccine could be the cause of rising depression and anxiety in youth. The measure in the Assembly and Senate would apply to children born since January 1, 2009. Federal officials said the virus, HPV has been contracted by 80 million Americans. It's so common that nearly all men and women will contract it sometime in their lives, the officials said. A related bill introduced earlier this year would allow healthcare practitioners, such as those at clinics and Planned Parenthood offices, not just physicians, to vaccinate youth under the 18 years old for sexually transmitted diseases without the knowledge or consent of their parents or guardians. Parents and guardians would have to provide written proof from their family physicians or other healthcare practitioners that their children were inoculated with the required vaccines before 14 school days passed in a new school year, according to the state public health law. Exceptions can be made for students who transfer between schools. Now, Steve, you know, we were very concerned about this forced vaccination bill that came down the pike in this last legislative session. You know, and I, modern medicine, the idea to vaccinate children against childhood diseases that, were very debilitating and that, many times children died from. What a great thing that is an option for parents. But when we're looking at all of this mandated stuff, I just mentioned regarding these special districts in the previous session, you have something that's a good idea, you get government involved. And honest to Pete, can you believe that in New York that they are going to mandate that kids get this vaccination and not even let the parents know, kids in elementary school? This should make every parent, grandparent, aunt, uncle, neighbor, colleague shake in their boots. Because if they can force this, then they can force other things as well. And so this is something where we need to be very concerned about it, Steve.
Did you, in the reading of this, did you detect a certain bias? Because as you were, reporting there, something jumped out in front of me. HPV has been contracted by 80 million Americans. It is so common that nearly all men and women will contract it sometime in their lives. That seemed a little inflammatory, excessive, over the top.
It does. And, you know,
I wonder if the writer has an agenda, that this isn't really just a report, is that they're doing some scare tactics here.
You know, very, very possibly. So one would then have to go to the question of, you know, why is it that people will be contracting this? And, you know, on our college campuses, you know, many times we're no longer talking about the importance of relationships between men and women, the importance of marriage, that one of the ways to not contract these things is to not have multiple sexual partners. You know, there's different ways to do that. And instead, on our college campuses, you know, we're seeing many times push we're seeing it even in our schools or with this sex education bill here in Colorado, pushing kids to think more and more about the whole physical aspects of their lives instead of kind of the excellence that we should strive for in our ideas and in our relationships. Am I making any sense on that, Steve?
Yes, you are. I mean, that makes all the sense in the world in terms of, let me see if I can distract you from what's really important here and basically cause you to alter your life and your priorities into, you know, instead of focusing on what's really,
you know, how to live.
Yeah.
You know, an abundant, joyful life.
Did you see this a little bit further down? An online petition against the bill began within the last month and has attracted more than 72,000 signatures so far. So it's like, all right, people are aware and they're slowly being, you know, awakening to what's really going down here. Now, 72,000, I guess this is the state of New York, right?
Right.
Okay, 72,000 is kind of a drop in the bucket, I suppose, but still. Somebody's awake and aware.
Well, and we need to stay on top of that. And I think that we're going to see something come down the pike here in Colorado again regarding these forced vaccinations. And you have to ask why. You know, do they really care about kids? Or is this possibly government in bed with Big Pharma? Because if you force people to have a product and then you use taxpayer dollars to pay for it, you know, that's where big business and big government, you know, get in bed together. And that's one of the things that I think is really frustrating for people. But Big Pharma can't do anything without big government making them, you know, making rules and regulations that puts these things in place. So I know that there's a lot of people that want to say that corporations are the big boogeyman. Corporations can't make you do anything. It's government that has the force all over it. It's government that mandates. It's government that regulates.
There's that word again, force.
You got it.
But hey, some sanity out of California, no less. Larry Cook of the Los Angeles-based activist group Stop Mandatory Vaccination said the HPV vaccine has nothing whatsoever to do with public health, just as mandating birth control for teens would have nothing to do with public health. The real question here is, who is benefiting from the HPV vaccine mandate?
Referring to the pharmaceutical industry.
Hmm.
Okay. So, hey, do you think we have time for just one more before we get to talk to Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management?
Oh, yeah. Let's. Maybe it's something he'll join us on. So
yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Maybe he might do that. Okay. Elon Musk. You know, many people hold him up as this innovative, great businessman, and he's a billionaire. Well, you know, he could be a billionaire because he received this. It was in 2015. There was an LA Times article where he and his companies had received $4.7 billion in government subsidies. That was in 2015. That's before we have government putting in all these electric car mandates, all of these, you know, here in Colorado that it's going to mandate that dealers sell a certain percentage of their fleet should be electric vehicles. If they're not, then they're going to be fined and they have to pay penalties. And one of the ways to offset these penalties is to buy these credits from the only company that sells them is Elon Musk. And so, you know, I don't hold him up as a great businessman. I hold him up as someone that is living off of government subsidies, but this is really interesting. This was in Forbes. This was last week. It says Elon Musk's net worth falls $770 million after Tesla's botched Cybertruck debut. Can you imagine this, Steve? Time will tell if drivers buy into Elon Musk's futuristic Cybertruck, but Wall Street is so far skeptical. Tesla stock skidded since the electric vehicle maker unveiled the long-awaited electric pickup truck in a live demonstration gone awry last night. That was last week, wiping $750 million off founder and CEO Elon Musk's fortune. You want a truck that's really tough, not fake tough, Musk said of the Blade Runner-esque angular car. You want a truck you can take a sledgehammer to, a truck that won't scratch and doesn't dent. To prove that, he had created such an automobile. Musk directed a Tesla designer to take a sledgehammer to the Cybertruck's door. No damage. But when he had the designer throw a metal ball at the armor glass windows, things went off the rails. I'm not going to say what he said, but he was very surprised when the window shattered. A second ball thrown with less force cracked the second window as well. For a weird little reason, it broke down. I don't know why, Musk told the crowd at the unveiling in Hawthorne, California. We'll fix it in the post. Jason McBride, what do you think about that?
I thought that was the ugliest truck I've ever seen. Honestly, it looked like they just kind of threw it together the night before with a bunch of cardboard boxes. That was embarrassing.
Well, it was probably not half as embarrassing as when he was trying to show how tough it was and the windows broke on that. And
yeah, that was too bad.
Yeah, it was too bad. So Tesla stock... I tell you, anytime you have government involved in all these things, you know, they're working so hard to make Elon Musk a success. And with all these government subsidies and mandates, there's force all over it, and it's still not working. And, of course, he was very involved with Solyndra as well. So, anyway, Jason, what is going on, though, out there in the market?
Well, we've had a couple of tough days, at least one yesterday, Kim, the market... And I'm just talking about the Dow here. It's a decent measure. It was down about 268, and most of that was due to, you know, possible delays in a China deal. You know, the China trade talks always affect the market, and then Trump said he was also willing to put tariffs on Brazil and Argentina for steel and aluminum if they're not going to play fair. So the market didn't like any of that news. This morning, we wake up and Trump is intimating that he's not going to make a deal that he doesn't like, that he's more than happy to wait until after the election to make a deal with China, and the market doesn't like that too much. So we're seeing the futures down over 200 this morning. But I'll tell you, Kim, after, you know, kind of the moonshot we've had since the end of September, a little bit of a pullback here isn't necessarily abnormal. A couple of ugly days, yeah, it always unsettles you a little bit, but it hasn't done anything absolutely horrible as of yet.
Well, and Jason, just a quick question before we get to John Conradi after the break.
Sure.
Donald Trump, I saw the headline come across my phone early this morning that Trump said that actually we may not come to a trade deal with China until after the 2020 election. Honestly, what politician would ever actually put everything on the line like that when he gets so much pressure regarding China? And he says, I mean, it looks to me like he's going to stay tough on that, even as he's coming into an election cycle. I found that kind of interesting.
Well, he just kind of tends to tell it like it is, and I think Trump worries a little bit, actually quite a bit less about politics than a normal politician does. You're right. Most of them would be like, oh, I got to be really careful on every little thing I say the next year just to make sure I get elected again. I think Trump is using what he used to get elected, and he's just telling it like it is. And I think it should work for him again. So I appreciate it, whether he gets reelected or not. I'd rather have the truth.
I totally agree on that. And, Jason, I cannot believe that we are at December 3rd, and there are things that people really need to take a look at between now and the end of the year to optimize their own economic well-being, their taxes, and things like that. So sitting down with you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management, just to do a discovery session, no pressure, no locked doors, people, you know, it's total free market kind of thing. I would highly recommend that, because there are things that people can do that will you know, really optimize, you know, their economic well-being, possibly lower their tax liabilities. And I know that you can help them with that.
Well, yeah, get a second set of eyes on what you're doing. If everything looks good, we'll tell you that. I mean, but if there's things that we can fix or improve, we're going to tell you what those are as well. And it's up to you whether to take the advice or not. Like you say, Kim, we don't have, you know, any locking jail cell bars or arm-twisting devices there or anything like that. It's a pretty non-threatening environment. As far as I know, we're all very nice folks. And, you know, we tend to know some stuff, too. I didn't get this gray hair for nothing.
You earned every one of them.
That's right. You got some smart, wise, war-weathered people that work at Presidential, and we know some stuff.
That's for sure. So Natalie will be at the switchboard at 7:30. You can call at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Or go to the landing page, AIR, that's A-I-R, presidential.com, airpresidential.com. Jason, thanks so much for your great wisdom. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Okay, great. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with John Conradi, and he is the national spokesman for the Campaign for Sustainable Drug Pricing. Doesn't that sound like a good idea? We'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and I'm thrilled to have a conversation with John Conradi. He is the national spokesman for the Campaign for Sustainable Drug Pricing. John, welcome to the show.
Kim, thanks so much for having me.
You know, modern medicine is an amazing thing. There are so many different medicines out there, drugs out there that can help people, but sometimes they are priced so high that they're priced out of the market for people, and it's really concerning. And so this, what your mission is to make prescription drugs more affordable for all Americans is a really good idea. So how are we going to do that?
You know, you hit the nail right on the head. Breakthroughs aren't really breakthroughs if folks can't afford the medications they need to survive and to live with a high quality of life. You know, and really over the last 5 years, we've seen brand name manufacturers continue to hike the price of prescription drugs at rates far outpacing inflation, even as there's been this crisis of affordability that's really grown and continued to escalate. You know, a recent Gallup poll from just a couple of weeks ago found that nearly 60%, 58 million Americans reported being unable to afford their prescription drugs in the last 12 months. And that number is actually up from earlier in the year. you know, 50 million Americans, you know, nearly a quarter of the population of the country saying that they're having trouble affording the prescription drugs. This is a real crisis, and it really demands action in Washington.
Well, so what can be done?
You know, there are a number of market-based solutions, really sensible solutions with broad bipartisan support being talked about in Washington. One of those that have been particularly advocating for is the Grassley-Wyden package, or the Senate Finance package. Its official name is the Prescription Drug Pricing Reduction Act. This is a package that would provide immediate relief for seniors. It would disincentivize price gouging, would hold Big Pharma accountable, help protect patients and taxpayers, do a number of things. It would help support competition and boost transparency, all the things that really have to be done in order to bring the price of prescription drugs down and hold the pharmaceutical manufacturers accountable, really, for their egregious price gouging practices.
Now, you know, one of the things that we hear many times from pharmaceutical companies is that there can be such a long period to try to get a drug that might really help people, you know, out of trials and get it approved by the FDA, and that takes so much time and money, and so that actually needs to be built into the price of the drug, you know, going into the future. Can we do something regarding, you know, that long trial and the FDA? I mean, can we rein in some of that, you know, government force mandate on all those things?
You know, certainly there are ways to achieve savings in the system. But at a time when the pharmaceutical industry is banking record high profits, by far the highest profit margin of any entity or any section of the entire healthcare industry, really the highest profit margins of any industry in the entire country, the arguments that somehow, you know, these common sense reforms that will help keep them from continuing to hike prices on their products is going to impact either innovation or their ability to get drugs cleared to the FDA really just doesn't hold up water. And in fact, our group, CSRXP, did a study earlier in the year that found that the pharmaceutical industry spends more than two times as much on corporate profits and overhead as they do on research and development. And then they also spend more on profits and advertising together than they do on research and development. You know, and there's also the fact that taxpayers foot a huge portion of the bill for the development and the research into these drugs through the NIH. A few great examples are HIV drugs that have been developed, like PrEP, which is now controlled, has patent protection by Gilead, and Gilead is repeatedly hiking the prices on it, even those taxpayers that footed the bill for the research and development of that drug.
Interesting. And so that price is being, or those drugs are, the price is increasing on that. And then, like, do many of the patients, are they like Medicaid patients that, you know, so are taxpayers paying for these drugs as well, or how is that working?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, with these solutions, like the Senate Finance Package, that passed with bipartisan support out of an important panel in the Senate, but is kind of languishing and really needs senators like Cory Gardner to endorse this legislation publicly and help advocate to leadership to bring it to the floor to pass. That legislation, the nonpartisan CBO, Congressional Budget Office, said would save taxpayers over $100 billion just by keeping brand-name pharmaceutical companies from continuing to price gouge the drugs that are covered under the Medicare Part D program.
Okay, so how are you proposing, though, to stop price gouging? How would that happen in this legislation?
So there are a couple things that it does. One, it disincentivizes price gouging by giving Big Pharma skin in the game. The way it works right now under Medicare Part D is once a patient reaches the catastrophic phase of coverage, once they have really significant prescription drug costs every month, it's predominantly taxpayers and to some degree insurers who pick up the cost then of covering those costs. This legislation would bring the manufacturer into that. It would actually have the manufacturer be responsible once a patient's reached the catastrophic phase of coverage in the Medicare program for picking up some of that cost. And so that provides a natural disincentive against price gouging, because in a way they'd be increasing prices on their own, on themselves. Another thing it would do is it would keep price hikes that would be covered by taxpayers in line with inflation. And this is one of the really key points, because the drug industry has really latched onto this and said, these are government price controls. This is, where this is the government deciding what prices are, and that will impact innovation. Well, that's just nonsense. What these are is just controlling the amount of subsidy that the American taxpayer is willing to give to a brand name pharmaceutical company. They can still set whatever price they want. It's just, when you're talking about the Medicare Part D program, it's just saying taxpayers are not going to cover price hikes that far exceed the rate of inflation on a year-to-year basis.
Okay, I think that we're getting to a point where you're really starting to get my attention when you say the words subsidies. Because anytime you get government involved in something, typically with subsidies, the prices go up. Many times the supply goes down, the quality can go down. But, John, I had one of our listeners texted me this, and so I want to give you the comment on this. Let's go to break, and then I'd like to hear what you have to say about it, and I can reread it when we come back. But one of the things that she says, that drug companies have to make high profits to pay for all of the expensive FDA processes. The problem is not profits. Also, we are offering drugs to foreign countries for much less, which I understand by legislation. Of course, their overhead is high. But she says, have you looked at the overtime regulations? So it seems like there's a lot packed in there, John, but it seems like those are some good questions to try to answer. So how about we go to break and we'll try to bite these off? Does that sound okay?
Sounds great.
Okay, great. This is Kim Munson. We're talking with John Conradi with the Campaign for Sustainable Drug Pricing, and we'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Denver, and the historic 88 Drive-In Theater for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson, and I'm talking with John Conradi. He is with the Campaign for Sustainable Drug Pricing. He is their national spokesman. And, John, these medicines that we have in America, I mean, they're pretty amazing. They can help people in so many different ways. I remember being at a luncheon to benefit the multiple sclerosis nonprofit. And a woman got up and said that they were so grateful that after many, many years, I want to say like 15 years, a drug had been approved that actually would help people have a better quality of life, maybe extend their lives. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, 15 years. Think how many people that could have been helped during those 15 years. And as I'm also thinking about it, from a free market standpoint, people could be helped and they would have been, buying a product instead of it being in research and development. So it seems to me like the FDA is a bit of a problem on this whole thing. What do you think?
I think one of the things that the FDA has done well under the current administration is they have worked to streamline the approval process, both for new innovations and for generic competitors that can come to market and bring prices down. I think that's a really commendable thing that was started under the last FDA commissioner. That will hopefully be continued under a new FDA commissioner when they're approved, possibly in the next couple of weeks. But when you're talking about price, there's really just, and I think you really were nailing on the head before the break when you were saying that big business loves big government. You know, you're talking about big business, in this case, big pharma, the pharmaceutical industry, being able to use a really onerous and complex system to their advantage because they have the unlimited resources to take advantage of that system and gain it in order to keep competitors from getting into the market and then being able to drive prices down from a market standpoint. And that's really so much the crux of the issue here and what the solution, the common sense solutions with bipartisan support in Washington would accomplish is just increase some of that competition by dialing back some of pharma's ability to kind of gain the onerous system and web of regulations that exist.
Okay, and what about all the subsidies? Now, out here in Colorado, we have seen the Medicaid has just blown our budget to smithereens, if you will. I mean, it is amazing how much Medicaid has and human and health services has expanded in Colorado. And so anytime you take money from one person and you give it to another person, you know, via whether or not you're paying for their drugs or for their health care, you know, whatever it is, you know, it takes away accountability, it takes away transparency, it takes away competition. And but yet it seems like Big Pharma comes out pretty well in these situations with all of these subsidies. Perhaps maybe we need to try to work to get the subsidies out of the health care industry. Is that a possibility?
Well, you know, I think at this point, from a what's politically feasible, and you're talking about, you know, in a divided Washington, I don't think we're going to see anything like a wholesale reduction of the Medicare Part D program. But what we can do is, right now, Big Pharma has no incentive not to keep hiking prices, particularly when if taxpayers and health plans are going to cover the cost of those increases, and it's not going to be the senior who relies on Part D for the prescription drug coverage, that gives them every incentive in the world to keep hiking prices, because even then the outcry over the impact on seniors is diminished, because the impact is really on the American taxpayer because of these subsidies. So one of the things that we could do in Washington right now that Senator Cory Gardner could come out today and endorse and help get to the floor and pass is the Senate Finance Package, which basically says the American taxpayer is only going to pay for price increases that fall below the rate of inflation or that stay in line with the rate of inflation. And taxpayers are not going to just foot an unlimited bill for Big Pharma to continually keep hiking prices.
Okay, so I'm just thinking about this. I served for 4 years on city council, and there was kind of this unwritten rule that government had to grow every year, that it was always going to grow, that it was always going to grow. But yet, the free market, you take a look at big screen TVs. You know, many years ago, they were several thousand dollars. Now you can get a big screen TV for less than $1,000. I haven't shopped for one recently, but the price has come down because of competition and innovation. And so this idea that prices, you know, get to go up, you know, via inflation each year. I mean, in a way, John, I think that's a little bit of a flawed concept. What's your comments?
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, take Humira, the best-selling drug in the United States. It's the most popular, most widely prescribed drug. It's an anti-inflammatory drug that does a number of amazing things for a lot of people. But it's only manufactured by one company, AbbVie, that's increased the price 16% just in the last couple of years on that drug, which impacts a huge number of people, both in the private market, those who do rely on government programs for their prescription drug coverage. AbbVie has been able to keep hiking prices at that rate on that drug, not because they're still within the period of exclusivity for inventing it, but because they've been able to extend that period by really almost double to 36 years from the kind of 20-year benchmark for regular patent exclusivity. They filed 136 patents that they've actually been issued just for that one drug for things as ludicrous as changing a pill casing or color, things that don't actually impact how the drug treats a patient, but that are just these little things that the drug industry can use in the system to their advantage to keep competition from coming in and bringing prices down. Okay. And when you're talking about the Humira, for example, in other countries, so in Europe, there actually have been biosimilar generic versions of the drug that have been able to come to market, and you've actually seen the prices of Humira drop in those markets. But in the United States, where they can game the system to keep prices high, it's the American patients and taxpayers who keep having to pay for that.
Okay, so last question, and this is something that I think our listener had mentioned, and that is that many times there's drugs or a similar drug that is available in a foreign country, which there's competition there, and the price is much more reasonable, but that's not happening in America. Why can we not bring the? Why can we not make that happen in America, bring more of a free market to that?
Yeah, you know, that's what I think we really need, is to pass some of these common sense measures that would increase competition and boost transparency to eliminate some of the games that Big Pharma plays to keep prices high. That's something that we need Washington to do, something we need Senator Gardner to get behind and to act now.
You know, one other thing, and that is Big Pharma is very active in lobbying. I think they're very active in donating to political campaigns, and so that makes it difficult from a political standpoint. Last comment on that, John?
They sure do. I mean, just in the third quarter of this year, the industry spent $228 million on lobbying, and that was up $10 million from the same period the year before. It really is going to require political courage to get some of these reforms passed into law.
Political courage. We need more of that. Before we had you on, we were talking about Trump saying that perhaps the trade war with China may continue after the 2020 election. What politician ever does that? And so political courage, that is the American idea. And so John Conradi with the Campaign for Sustainable Drug Pricing, thank you so much. Really appreciate the conversation this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great day. And our quote for today is Dr. Ben Carson. This is from his book, Think Big, Unleashing Your Potential for Excellence. It does not matter where we come from or what we look like. If we recognize our abilities, are willing to learn, and to use what we know in helping others, we will always have a place in the world. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.